and that revelation cannot come no way in the right way but by the Holy Spirit, and that there must be a wind blowing when revelation come that we can apply those things into our ministries. I thank you for every ministry that is represented here, and Lord, may you speak to them tonight. I just ask you to use my mouth, use my mind, use my heart, use whatever I have, Lord. I surrender that your presence, the refreshing of your presence, can be upon this house and this people tonight. We thank you. We recognize this is a closed meeting, so the people that are ministering to is in this house. And we just thank you and we just praise you for what you have done thus far and what you're going to do tonight. We give you the praise. Before anything happen, Lord, listen, let me get this straight now. Before anything happen, I'm not going to take the glory for this. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're not going to shake hands tonight. We're going to work. Releasing the impartation of apostolic grace. So I want that impartation to take loose in this place tonight. As Dr. Fall made reference to, it changes you. I seen him change right before my eyes to a stronger man, stronger anointing on his life, even for his family. And so I want to give you a workable, undeniable definition of grace that is far beyond the normal definition, that you can see some things in grace maybe you've never seen before, even before we start pulling scriptures apart. And there's four major things I want to say before I start. But this definition of grace, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, lovingness, goodwill, favor, and loving kindness. See, I didn't get all that, Reverend. I didn't get it. This is extensive Greek, and looked up this word definition of grace. We just say it's a unmerited favor. And it's probably more, but grace that what you afford is joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, sweet grace, charm, lovingness, goodwill, favor, and loving kindness. Now that's an extensive definition of grace. That's the type of apostolic grace. And we're going to deal with wisdom tomorrow night, manifold wisdom somewhat. And there are some things that God said to me about wisdom that I never experienced before, but I know they're real because my spirit agreed with them and the scripture agreed with it. Now, there's four things I want you to get ready for. As, again, I want to make reference to David, what he said, because these things should be happening. In this impartation, or the revelation of this grace, and I want you to get the revelation of this grace. Yeah. See, this is going to be an impartation, but it's going to be based on a revelatory grace. Yeah. I mean, that's a revelatory definition you just received. And then there's the impartation of this grace, number two. The third thing is very important. Yes, sir. I'm going to have to add one. The inspiration of this grace. After the impartation, put the inspiration. I don't have that in my note, but I need to get that. The inspiration of this grace, because this grace has to be constantly breathed upon. Or you will not go there. Humanly, fleshly, academically, this grace highway, maybe you let me say it that way, that we're talking about, very few men walk on it. But you're about to go there. Are you following me? And so to take the next step, I heard the Holy Spirit say, no, after impartation, you can't go to that step. They got to have the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, inspirational grace. Then you have the application of grace. See, if you try to apply it without the revelation, without the impartation, without the inspiration, you're really not going to be able to apply this type of apostolic grace, because I'm shattered in the spirit somewhat and in my mind. All these years I've been in ministry, and I had no idea what an apostle was. And I got some company in this room. Y'all, somebody sent one. There's a whole lot more than that. We used the word ambassador this morning, and we don't do much preaching about the ambassadors of Christ, because we don't recognize an ambassador who really an ambassador of Christ is. And that ambassador passed us an anointing off to us, and we all walked in that same frame of anointing. And then after the application of this grace, then this grace take upon certain types of manifestation that is not normal. Your ministry begin to manifest mysteries. Begin to understand mysteries that you did not understand before, because this grace is taking the spirit world apart for you. This grace is going to start taking the spirit world apart for you, separating demons from dominators. Deceivers from achievers. It's this grace. You understand what I'm saying? This grace. This grace that's going to be imparted to you tonight. It's going to be strong. I'm going to tell you right now. It's going to be strong. I'm going to tell you right now. In my prayer time this afternoon, it's going to be strong. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be strong. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be able to remain the same. You're preaching. You're teaching. You're pastoring. Whatever office you stand in cannot remain the same. If your wife not with you, she's going to ask you what happened. If your husband, they know you're pretty good. And if your husband with you, not with you, he's going to ask you what happened to you. Impartation depicts deposit. Something to be put in the mailbox. And sometimes we get letters unexpectedly with good news. And the letter, the mail will be put in your box tonight. Full of grace. And as I speak to you, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, this grace that's going to be imparted to you tonight going to open up more space in your ministry. Spaces that you've been held out of by others will be forced out the way. Because there's going to be such a gracious anointing on you that the Lord will lead you in places that you have not been led before. Can I get a glory here? It will fill this room. Matter of fact, the grace and the glory are going to lock hand in this room. And the glory going to pass over this auditorium and going to leave. And as it passes, it's going to be dropping off grace. That you can better carry out your assignment with ease. The struggle is over. And so we get ready for this. And so this grace, after you go through the revelation, the impartation, the inspiration, and the application, then there's manifestations that's going to take place. Grace manifestation. Boy, that's powerful. grace manifestation. I don't know how I got here. That's what grace manifestations are. They take you places you can't explain. If everything you've done in your ministry you can explain, you haven't gone nowhere yet. And so we got to give the Holy Ghost a chance to do something out of the ordinary in our lives and stop eating the same jelly and peanut butter and let the Holy Ghost give you some new jam. You follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain it in my language. That's the best I can do, you know. And then there's demonstrational grace. Is grace that demonstrate things in your life that the world can see who you are. They need to know who you are. They need to know you are. You're marked. And after tonight, you'll be marked more. You're going to get marked with joy. You're going to get marked with pleasure. You're going to get marked with favor. You're going to get marked with goodwill. You're going to get marked with kindness. You're going to get marked with lovingness. You're just going to get marked. That's a $2,500 check. Just going to get marked. Man, brought a $1,000 check up here now. You're going to get marked. So let's go to work. You may be set up. You set up. Let's go to work. Let's go to work. Let's look at a few scriptures as, again, qualifiers.
Yes, sir.
This apostolic anointing, this apostolic grace. How can I say this, Lord? Has to have some evidence. Look in Romans chapter 1. Let's just look at I'll read those later. Romans chapter 1. Because I'm trying to set you up, really, that you'll be open enough to receive and know you're not in a regular setting. When I was called to be an apostle, I was sitting in my RV. My wife was working on her computer, and the Lord said, I call you to be an apostle. Just like that. I call you. I said, yes, sir. Didn't really know what he was thrusting me into and didn't really know that he had let me have visitation in those anointing already. And may I say this? Give the Holy Ghost credit. So for a moment there, we thought thinking about having an apostle function for me. And my wife and I came to the conclusion, that's not God. Don't need to have no function. Just function. And that's what we did. You know, we could have had the big meeting, had all the boys around me, laid a hand on me, and, you know, the robe and all that. And heaven. Lord, no, they say, because I see now Paul had none of this. Matter of fact, Paul left town for a long time, too, and came back, and they couldn't deny who he was. You get back home, they ain't going to be able to deny who you are either. Romans 1:1. I want to look at some statistics here about apostleship that we need to see. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just a moment now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll be following the Holy Spirit here the best as I can. I feel tension coming now, but I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I just start talking, man. I want to follow the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenus, our brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are scriptures to build up to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Ephesians chapter 1. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Is right. Let me see. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. You keep saying this. What you keep saying this for? 1 Timothy 1:1. We'll have it by the time we get through reading these, you know. Somebody said, I'm an apostle. He said, is that the will of God? Or that's your will? First Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Yeah, yeah, commanded. 2 Timothy 1:1. Go with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And then we, you know, it's on and on and on. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Let me look at a scripture here a minute. See if I'm going to read it now or later. The call being chosen and being entrusted as an apostle is only by the grace of God and not by any of man's abilities. Galatians chapter 1 now. I'm going to say make a very important spiritual insight here that the church has not known enough. It may be known in some other place, but in the circles I've been running, it have not been known. And we need to know it. And so when I say it, you'll understand better. In Galatians chapter 1, we want to look at verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by men, by man, had men first, got them all. Then he said, ain't no personal man, not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, I want to go into verse 2 along with that and mention this thing that you need to know. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, watch it, young man. Watch what I'm about to say now. Watch what I'm about to say now. Watch what I'm about to say. He's addressing an apostolic team. Yes, sir. Every person who's a member of LTMA is a part of the apostolic team.
Yes. Yes.
They have apostolic rights.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Because of connection.
Yes, sir.
And so this apostolic team has not been seen.
Yeah.
It almost sometimes be a one-man show. But it's supposed to be spread in power. Touching different talents and different gifts. Don't shout it out because I'm preaching good now. So the call, being chosen and being entrusted as an apostle is only by the grace of God to be on the apostolic team carried the same connotation. Turn to 1 Corinthians. A lot of scripture tonight, but I have a lot of principles I'm going to teach you too until the Holy Ghost says just whatever he say. Hallelujah.
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 How many of y'all know it must be more? It got to be more. You know, we've been running around as charismatic, word of faith, and Church of God in Christ, and I don't have nothing against, thank God. I got brothers in all of them, but there got to be more, man. Somebody stopped somewhere and stayed too long.
Yeah.
And we've dealt long enough with the history, it's time to deal with the mystery.
Yeah.
You know, what so-and-so did, what so-and-so did. Yeah, but what we going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you learned from your forefathers,
but
your forefathers didn't deplete God. And our job is not complete until Jesus comes. So there's more to do, more to know, more to have. But we got to get out the chitlin circuit. You know, the chitlin in the chicken circuit. Got to get out of there. I had a little box in them. What that little box used to say? Let me out of here. Any of y'all ever seen that little box? I wish I had that little box. Where that little box at? I wish it was in the office. I'll play it for you right now because a lot of y'all in that box. Let me out of here. First Corinthians 15. Come on, let's go. Here's one of the most powerful verses about your ministry you ever read. I want you to see yourself in this verse. It's so powerful. First Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And I did too when I was lost in my sin, you know, cutting up. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's, you missed the time to shout that. If you don't know that, I really can't help you. But by the grace of God, I've made mistakes. But grace picked me up. I made wrong decisions. Come on, preacher, talk to me. But grace covered me. So I can acknowledge tonight, I am what I am by the grace of God. If you keep making that announcement, you keep making that announcement. I said, if you keep making that announcement, promotion gonna tear your door down. Because the Lord is looking for that. The Lord is looking for somebody who know they have to rely, lean on, stand on, operate from his grace. The first impartation of grace I want to give you tonight, I hear the Holy Spirit talking on my inside. The first impartation of grace here tonight is give God the credit. Yes. Sit down and write that down. Give God the credit. No matter what happened in your life, good things I'm talking about, and promotions and anointings and things work out. Be sure you stand up, open your mouth, and give God the glory. Give God the credit for it. It's because the grace of God is on my life. Partake of that. Make that a man part of your life. Man. Give God the credit. Now, after you do that, shut your mouth and go to your house. You do that, and the Lord God Almighty, the awesome God, they're talking about, the sovereign God, will see you as an instrument of grace. Ooh, that is an instrument of grace. God wants you to be an instrument of his grace. He'll keep promoting you because you are an instrument of his grace, and you're going to turn and give him the credit. That's all Paul doing here, giving God the credit. Now, you know you've took some credit. That's why you didn't go to the next level. God say, she don't understand yet. And if I promote her anymore, she's going to hurt herself. Because if you promote it in this arena and do not acknowledge grace, you in satanic danger. Because you're a step away from what Lucifer fell with. P-R-I-D-E. We must shun away from that. Give God the credit. Can you understand that? Oh, you can. All right, sit down. Sit down. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now, Paul calleth our attention in Galatians 2:21 and tell us, look at Galatians 2:21. Look at Galatians 2:21. Now, is it possible that you have run too fast, too far, and never stopped to the station to check in? And you're working hard because you have frustrated the grace of God that he had placed upon your life. Because you saw somebody else doing something. Y'all better get arrested, statement. You saw somebody else doing something, and you tried to do what they were doing. And now you are not special. You're regular. See, you're special if you stay in your grace. Because nobody else can walk in your grace. Your grace was designed just for you. It's a unique grace. Somebody might be able to sing. Somebody might have a stutter in their talk. Somebody might cannot talk good at all. But that's your place of grace where God's going to cause you to shine. Don't change it. Could it be that somewhere in ministry we have frustrated the grace of God, trying to do something that God has not called us to do because we saw somebody else doing it, and we left our special grace where people can see our infirmities and see our inadequacies and see our inability, but yet see promotion? That's what you're looking at right here. See, I'm not going to leave my place. All the great men I've preached with always stayed in my place. Never tried to be one of them. I just stayed in my place and just talked, fumble around, and then the Holy Ghost come. Here's your next impartation. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, you're going back to your special place of grace. You're going to let God use you like he called you. God's going to use you uniquely, because there's nobody else can wear these shoes but you. And you will not frustrate the grace of God another moment. That's your text right there, Galatians 2:21. 20 verses, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in the life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the next voice says, you shouldn't frustrate the grace of God. There are ministers in this room. Look at me. You're out of place because you stepped out of your grace. And some of you following somebody don't know where they're going. You can't choose no covering from popularity. You got to choose it from Papa. You know the difference from Papa and popularity? The Father had to tell you. The whole spectrum of ministry is a grace. So these impartations is very important tonight, because, as I said, and I'm not being being disparagingly or speaking erratically about you, but some of y'all stuck. And if you hear me as an apostle tonight, I'm pulling many of y'all out of stuck already. You remember what God told you to do, and you remember when you felt fresh. And the staleness come upon you because you're not in your place. That fresh anointing is waiting on you where he told you to be. Don't try to be different. Just be you. It's going to be a heavy, heavy hang over your head in a few minutes up here, but the Holy Ghost is, I even haven't gotten none of my principles yet. Wow. Because he keep talking to me this special grace is in a special place for you. Yeah. Your uniqueness shine out. If you just fumble like the Holy Ghost tell you fumble. You don't have to look for no weakness. Not a one of us in this room have to look for no weakness. It's been with you since your bone. You know what Paul said? He said, when I'm weak. What he said? Then am I strong. When I recognize, acknowledge that in my abilities, I can't do this. Tell somebody, hey. Just say, hey. Yeah, you need to say, hey. All right, let me try to finish reading this verse. You may be seated. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Was not in vain. And this grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I didn't leave it. And this grace, His grace. Which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Was not in vain. Then he said, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. That's the same as Galatians 2:20 right there. But the grace of God which was what? With me. With me. With me. With me. With me. With me. If the grass was with me. You feel discouraged. And you feel like everybody ministry moving but yours. But the grace of God is with you in the place that he called you. Never judge your grace by another man's ministry. Never judge your grace or your place by another man's ministry. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When is my time? Right now. Your time is not discerned by how far you are. Your time is discerned by how faithful you are where you are. Right now. So here's the next impartation. Right now, I'm turning your ministry around, and you're going to quit messing with this thing and feeling discouraged because you're not where you thought you should be, or you're not where somebody else be. You're exactly where God wants you until you hear his voice to do exactly what he wants you to do. The only demotor in your ministry is you. The devil can't demote you. You're the only demoter in your ministry. If you walk out from that umbrella of grace and get in another space and try to do something else besides what God told you to do, because it looked popular, it looked big. Look at yourself and call yourself back in order. And get back under the joy of grace and get back under living in the pledge of God. Who said you wasn't doing nothing? Who told you that lie? Who told you you're never going to grow? Sit down, let's go some principles. I just feel like slapping the hell out of discouragement. Just flat slapping the hell out of every discouragement in you. You have no business having no discouragement. Grace is greater than discouragement. It's the devil lied to you. And I'm telling him now, turn you loose. Get your joy back. Get your joy back. Get your joy back. That's all right. Get your joy back. That's all right. It didn't happen like you thought it was going to happen. Get your joy back. Get your joy back. I said, get your joy back. Discouragement has to leave this room now. Gone. Replaced by grace. My discouragement has been replaced by grace. Tell somebody that. Tell them that. All discouragement. I receive. Anybody got help? Anybody got help? Anybody got help? Anybody got help? Your discouragement. I don't care if it don't look like it's working. I don't care if you haven't preached in the last 9 years. Right now, I'm telling you, your discouragement, because you're getting an anointing, you're going to preach. You're going to get back in your place. Get back in your uniqueness. Got it? And I tell you what, the Spirit of God saying now, we're also making provisional changes. The provision going to change. Because you get back in your place of grace, that's why your provision is. I sense discouragement running like a monkey. I said I sense discouragement running. You just brought a $2,000 check.
That's from people from my church.
Or people from your church. Discouragement is, what is 22 out there? Yeah, 22? They're running both ways on 22 like a monkey. Discouragement from Tennessee, Alabama, and Texas. They're all running. Louisiana. Where you from? Huh? Arkansas. Discouraged. It's like a little monkey. They're running down the street at 22. Say, woo, get by that church. Get up. They're going out that gate. Wow, wow, wow. So, here at this moment, I'm releasing the apostolic anointing of courage. As said to Joshua, at the anointing, said, I'm releasing on your life right now. Listen to me now. I'm releasing on your apostolic good courage. You receive that. There's a grace going to flow in that spot. Next time the enemy tempt to discourage you, that grace going to ooze in with the armor of God and do battle. You receive that? Looked like nothing wasn't working. Like it's still getting better, getting worse. But after the night. See, because when you find out that you're failing, you're going to look at your position and see if you're where he wants you to be. Got it? Are we getting this? Are you glad you're here? Good God Almighty, I wouldn't want to be nowhere else. Tell somebody I got my courage back. Like I first was called. I feel that first anointing. I feel that first anointing, boy. That first, that fresh call. Tell three people I got my courage back. Woo, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Church, God Almighty. Got my courage back. Got your courage. Paul said this in making comparisons to 1 Corinthians 15, 9, and 10, the two verses we read, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God had entrusted him with a most extraordinary ministry of grace. Now, those three words, extraordinary, come on, sit down. Y'all need to write some down. I know I'm not through yet. Extraordinary ministry of grace. Write that down. Extraordinary. ministry of grace. Ooh, Jesus. My grace cup running over. Yeah, yeah. See. Yeah, you got to remind yourself. I'm full of grace. That's what they said about Jesus Christ in the first verse, didn't it? Said full, what did he say? Full of grace and what? And truth. And sometimes I need to talk about present truth, progressive truth, and prophetic truth. The apostolic grace has caused Paul, turn to 1 Corinthians 3, to be a wise master builder. If we can partake or impart this grace, it means that we become wise master builders. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, hallelujah, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. Now, you know what's the best, right?
Yeah.
Wood. You know what the best, right? I mean, you're not one of them person who's scared of gold and silver and precious stone and say, I'm going to build mines with wood, hay, and stable, are you? And stubble. You're not that deep in the spirit, are you? If you are, I need to call one of these Big Mac trucks with a wrench on the back and pull you out that hole. Because they say in glory, all the streets are paved of gold and the gates are pearl. He knows the importance of precision when you build. Look at Ephesians 2:20. I think we've mentioned it, but just look. I'm walking through that. He knows precision. He knows the importance of precision when you build. Grace gives you the precision. I built this church under this ministry here under the precision of grace, accurate grace. Not accumulated grace. Grace for the moment. Grace for the moment. Oh, Lord, children, I'm going to announce from this day forward, you're going to have on you grace for the moment. Whatever the moment is, from this night forward, I declare as an apostle of God, you're going to have grace for the moment. You will never again be in a place of insufficient help. You missed a good time to shout there, boy. You will never, minister, you will never be in a place from this night forward of insufficient help. When the battle come on, you're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's going to lift you to another level. That which came to destroy you, going to promote you. My God. Yeah, we have. Notice this. 2:20, Ephesians. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles. See first? They first. And prophet. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Look, Jesus let the apostle come first. But the apostle has to know he not first. Jesus is the chief apostle. But he knew how to humble himself and let the other little apostles get a little something. He's the chief cornerstone. And see, building in precision requires careful attention to the plan. You can't be reckless in ministry. You can't leave your ministry up to somebody else. You can't leave your prayer life up to somebody else. How long did you pray today? You're not on no vacation because you had a meeting. How long have you prayed today? Did you make contact? Did you flip those switches I told you? Flip. The switches can't be flipped when you need to flip them. They need to be flipped before something arrives. This is personal, man. Everything must be in the right place. And that's not going to happen without the Spirit. Man, I've been going almost an hour already. That time just passed, boy. You're easy to preach to. Sit down. This apostolic grace of his calling does not mean automatic success. You in Ephesians 3. You look at the first four verses in Ephesians 3. This apostolic grace of his calling does not mean automatic success. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mysteries, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It does not come automatically. Because our ministry, you listening? Our ministry life is in mystery. And mystery has to be revealed. If you're not walking in the mystery, you're naked. You're out there where Satan can see you. See, Jesus walked in the mystery. Satan never knew who he was. He couldn't see him. We must bring our ministry into the mystery. He don't know what move you're going to make next because you're orchestrated by somebody bigger than you. We bring all this worldly strategy and all this humanism in the church and psychology and philosophies in the church and try to do like the outside world doing, and the enemy know every move you make. But when you're a mystery, you just walk around like a drunk man, don't know what's happening. You know, just say, I don't know how you're going to do it. And all of a sudden, God show you a secret and God show you a mystery, and you're gone before Satan know what happened. You build the thing up. Satan says, up, I can't do nothing about it. Never give the demon a chance to call a meeting. Now put out enough natural information. Stay under the umbrella of grace. Now, your ministry is a mystery. Hidden in the bosom of God. It's part of your protection, not knowing what to do. It's part of your protection not knowing what to do. If you don't know, you can't tell it. Don't be scared. Walk by faith. Sometimes you're designated not to know what to do. That'll help you the next time. Seems like that. Wasn't that happy? Come on now. Now, that just come out of my spirit. I didn't know nothing about that. You all just told me that. See? Sometimes you don't know what to do. That's your best moment. Lord, I don't know what to do, but I got. See, we must hit that sometime.
That's a glorious spot. Been there. Done that. Came out just right. Don't panic when that happens. Don't, and please don't call your minister friend. Because they got a revelation to prove to you that they're smarter than you. And going to tell you something to do that they haven't done themselves. Y'all swap pulpit and lock yourself down. You run the same little circuit. I was in some of the biggest circuit you can find. And the Lord called me out. And my ministry took promotion like wildfire. Because I trusted him. And now I'll give him the glory. You are a grace mystery. You remember that. Some of y'all, none of your family preached the gospel, but God called you. That's what happened to me. My daddy wasn't no preacher. My grandfather wasn't no preacher. My great-grandfather wasn't no preacher. But God reached down in the mess of my family and called me out of the mess. I'm a mystery. But it's by grace. Listen what the Spirit of God said now. Let my grace work for you. Come on, minister. I want you all to get that. Let my grace work for you. Permit it to work. I dare you. I dare you. And when grace working, a lot of time you don't know what to do. Grace work better when you don't know what to do. You know that dumb move you made? You didn't know what to do, so you made a move. You prayed, thought God said something. He didn't say it. I've done that. Thought God said. God didn't say nothing because it's too hard. Yeah, stuff get too hard. I said, oh, this ain't God. Now, you remember what Paul said in that text? Paul said, by that grace text in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, Paul said, as Paul said, he worked harder than all the apostles who was before him. I say that right now. I work harder than any preachers before me. Look how quiet y'all got. You ask my wife. You ask my children. One of my members said, one of my LTM said that I have a family ministry. You, family ministry, you better look again at my family. That's my three sons there. That's my daughter right there. That's my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law right there. My daughter-in-law right there. That's my wife right there. 100% with the ministry. What more do you want? All my grandchildren in the ministry. Wait until they grow up to put them to work. I have one of the greatest family in the world, and I'm not lying, and I'm not confessing. I be possessing. God has blessed me, and I want to share the blessing with you. Now, let me give you this. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Hallelujah.
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 You know that man just got me out of all of my tight spots? No, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. You know that apostle just got me out of all my tight spots? This worry and this stress and all this mess. This man has released a grace in here that has set me free. I'm going back to my groove where I used to fit. Yeah. because I done got a hold of the Holy Ghost spit. Yeah. You don't believe this Holy Ghost spit, you got to read the Bible. Yeah. I was going home, and Lord said, this Holy Ghost spit. I said, what? He said, remember Jesus spit on that mud?
Yeah.
Putting that man out, and he spit on his tongue, another man and touch his tongue. You will only become more effective in this ministry or your ministry by working with the Holy Spirit leading.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Working with the Holy Spirit leading. Don't tell yourself nothing. No, don't tell yourself nothing, because if you're going to have to struggle the rest of your life. But the Holy Ghost leading. Tell somebody the Holy Ghost leading. The Holy Ghost is a mighty good leader. How many of y'all know that? I said the Holy Ghost is a mighty good leader. The Bible says men is led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. Huh? They can collect their inheritance. Come on now. Come on now. Look at this chapter. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophet and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manion, which was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now look at verse 32 now. And as they ministered to the Lord and fast. I thought to take off just now, boy. The Holy Ghost say. Now we know how to make the Holy Ghost talk. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Are you listening?
Yes,
listen to what he said. Now, why what did he say? And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So you're not obligated to lay your hand on nobody and bless nobody if the Lord hadn't talked to you. Now, you preachers, get rid of this guilt trip. These people come here and try to put you on a guilt trip, talking about you holding them back. Just set your tail down and wait till the Lord says something to me, or I ain't got nothing to do with it. Just go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got to get this straight, because there's too many non-productive ministry going out there already, wearing the name of Jesus, doing squat dueling, no anointing. Man, don't tell me this is dry as a baboon in a hailstorm with two heifers behind it.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. It's not going to work like that. You can watch me and see me walking in this grace and think you can walk in this grace. You can't walk in this grace. This grace got to get a hold of you. You got to give God time. You can't have no special agenda in another man's ministry. Y'all stop getting discouraged, because these guys come out, I'm leaving. I've been here so many years and you haven't done nothing for me. I ain't preaching nothing. Just carry your tail up the road, because you're not under grace. You trying to make me do something God didn't tell me to do. Somebody talk to me in here.
Yes,
somebody.
Sir.
You preachers been scared of these guys, these women. Come set up your chair and get a little tired, and they think they own you. You know, God owned me.
Yeah. Come on, Dad.
I don't supposed to make no ministry for you. God will make it.
Yeah.
I got Phil testimony, my testimony. It's Phil, the man who turned Phil loose. Man told Phil, Phil said, I believe it's time to go. He said, no, I already know it's time for you to go. He told him, go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My pastor told me, he said, it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
Go. I'm with you, son. I didn't go tell my pastor it's time for me to go.
Right. Come on, Dad.
Stop it. Shoot, we got to stop this. We got to stop this somewhere. We got to stop this right now. We got to stop it somewhere.
Yeah.
I and no special care. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Good anointed men and women have messed up by moving ahead of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
This look easy.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah. Come on.
If you leave too early, you're going to miss your connecting flight.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
because you got to be in a certain place at a certain time.
It's a
for this thing. It's a window, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Now go back home and tell them that.
Yeah.
Because they're pulling your coattail. Right, right. They're looking at you funny and all that old stuff. Yeah. Just speak it out.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, they might leave in my biggest giver.
Come on,
I got an answer for that.
Come on.
I had a friend went through that.
Yeah.
He's in his office pouting. Said, Lord, this man, the man didn't want him to run and dance.
Yeah.
He said, now, y'all can stop them people from running and dancing like that. And so the pastor told him, said, all right, all right. And so they broke out the next Sunday. And so he said, I can't keep my family. Y'all just running and jumping and dancing. He said, I'm leaving. He was the biggest tider.
Yeah.
And so he sat in his office the next week, and he was just discouraged and despondent, and grace stepped in the room.
Yeah.
And he said, man, my biggest tider gone. I got to do this. And the Lord tapped him on the shoulder. I said, your biggest tider is not gone.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make God your source to help people,
yes,
to challenge people, to stand up and be a man or a woman, whatever you are,
yeah. Yes,
and be counted,
yeah.
And lead God people.
Yeah.
And until I get something in my heart, I can't expose myself to a lie.
Right.
I'd be lying to you if I say I agree.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Come on.
Then if it's strong enough, just leave. God, Lord will help you. And that's what you got to do in ministry. This is what you got to do.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All these people ain't called. People done drank too much of your grace and liquor and got drunk. Look in the mirror and saw you and thought it was them.
Hallelujah.
You will only become effective in the ministry by working with the Holy Spirit leading. An apostle, come on, let me say a few more minutes. Sit down, a few more minutes. I've been an hour or something now. It's just. An apostle worked with the divine enablement of God's grace in order to accomplish the work beyond his natural ability. Listen to this. Now, here it is. An apostle worked with the divine enabling of God's grace in order to accomplish a work beyond his natural ability. Everything I'm doing is beyond me. My wife's smart. She a college graduate. My boy graduated from LSU. He's smart. All my children smart. I just pick up the bag and get me a piece of bread and just keep walking. But the Lord just keep on blessing me. I said, the Lord just keep on blessing me. The Lord just keep on blessing me. The blessings just keep on coming. Say it in your mouth. That's the next impartation. The blessing from this night forward, the blessings just going to keep on coming. The greatest blessing is going to keep on coming to you. They're going to come and lift you up and put you in places you've never been before. Look at somebody and tell them, the blessings just keep on coming.
The blessings just keep on coming,
Just keep on coming on my ministry. Say it.
Woo,
my ministry blessed.
Hallelujah.
Surrounded with a wall of fire and his glory in the midst.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the book said. Surrounded by a wall of fire and his glory in the midst. Yeah, that's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wish somebody over here would say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This grace equipped him for his job, the function as an apostle. An apostle is used to bring order. I told you I'm studying under another apostle, you see. An apostle is used to bring order, structure, and procedure into the local church. Oh, better sit down on this. Let me talk with you a while. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. Let me talk a little while. I got to talk a little while right there. Yes, sir. Something need to be said here. Something need to be said here. Watch what he said now. An apostle is used to bring order. That means if the apostle is not there, there are going to be some disorder. A link in the chain is missing.
structure and procedure. Order, structure, and procedure into the local church. Now, I'm going to say something. Now I know why this church and this ministry right here is so in order. That apostolic grace move in this place. Been moving before I accepted the call. It's been moving. You see, I didn't know what it was. I know I had a little something extra, you know. I didn't know what it was. And so we don't have mess up in this church. I got some members. Where my members at? Where my members at? My members know when they come in here Sunday morning, ain't going to be no mess here. And they're not going to get disrespected in this house. And all my men, the network of apostle team I got in here, I trust them. They are men of integrity. I got one or two of them. How many I got in here tonight? White, that's all white. Hey, you over there. That's John. Stand up so they see y'all. There's one back over there. That's one right there. That's four of them over there. That's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. They're ministers. The other one might not be ministers because they're not here. That's why they're not here. No, I mean, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. I'm not joking. They all don't have to be, you know, ministers or preachers to be a part of what God's doing. They're integrity and their character. You got some people asking me, could they come in? I said, no. You, are you a minister? No. Well, you know you can't come. You're going to mess the atmosphere up. We all here on the same agenda. Man, I just want to make peace with God. Keep peace. Stay in peace with God. Stay in the right lane. Huh? See, that material stuff automatically come when you get in place. But if you put the material ahead of the manifestation, you're going to have problems trying to pay for it. I got a shoe. You got a shoe. All God's children got a shoe. While I'm down here, I'm barefooted, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to put my shoes on. You ain't going to be being barefooted down here. You're supposed to be blessed down here. All right, let me try to finish this. I got to close. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 28 again and Ephesians 4 and 11. We'll read these two in context because they are saying something to us. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophet, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, help government, divorces of tongue. My prophetic father made it clear to me before he went home to the Lord that all five of them, fivefold ministry gifts is in that verse. Government is a pastor. Healing is an evangelist. All right, so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And you know what happened after verse 11 to the church. You know what happened after verse 11 to the church. When this is in place properly, oh God, things start happening in the church that could not happen no other way. But you got to get these in place before it can happen. Ephesians 4:11. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you still with me?
Yes,
you see what he said? And he gave some apostles. There he is first again. And some prophet. And some evangelist. And some pastor. And teacher. And then they tell you for what? And going down the line. That they can't be tossed to and fro no more. See, that's what it's about. But when you're out of order, the enemy get you. But thank God we in order. We're under this apostolic grace. Come on. You can put your hand up. I ain't going to bite you. How you doing this? He received revelations concerning the various gifts and ministry calling and how they are to function effectively.
Now, let me use some of my English. If you don't got that, that's why the mess going on. See, that apostle is supposed to tell you, no, 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 Bob, no, Phil, work it like this. You're supposed to trust him enough to work it just like he said. Now, in LTMA, all members, you're being pushed into a flow by your giving. And sometime I know it puts you on a wonder. But we're trying to push you to receive. And try to get you out of financial rut. Once you get out of financial rut, your wings gonna flap. Your anointing gonna increase. Because money is the elementary thing of the anointing. And you're not anointed until you get some money. See? And so that's why you're being pressed and having evidence before you what it does. The other man said right there, $1 million have gone through his hand in the last 3 years. Came to him personally. Because he learned how to sow with the apostle. And he got many more million coming. All of them. I just thought I might tell you that. If you work in total dependency upon the Holy Spirit, you will become adequate for the task God has called you for. I'm going to close with this. I got to close with it. I'm not running out. 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians. I'm coming to a close. Sir, I got to close. Go rest for tomorrow morning. And if you're a minister, nobody wants no grits every Sunday. You need to have some steak sometime. You need to have where God have talked to you yourself personally in your own unique grace and speak out and watch the power hit and carry them people where they need to go. You ain't no problem people coming to church. Just say something. And all of them not coming, all them people join your church, don't mean you no good. Just take the one, go with you. Stop worrying yourself. Do I have any pastors in here? Stop worrying yourself. They're all not going to flow like you tell them to. You done preach to them, and they're not going to do what you tell them to do because they're rebels. Rebels without a revelation. Don't worry about them. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Do the best you can and go on ahead. Fourth verse. And such trust have we through Christ to God, what? Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Hold my mute. I want to shout right here. Boy, that's powerful, man. See, that's powerful. Who also made us able ministers. Able ministers. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth. The Spirit giveth life. Hallelujah. Have you been helped in it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow. Stop siding your ministry to what you saw on TV. And feeling down like it's not working for you. It's working. Get back in your grace. I'll take up the moral idea. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll take up. We'll take up tomorrow night. I tell you what, enough been said, enough impartation been given for to satellite your ministry. See. Stop being sad when things don't work out like you want it. Shout the victory. Shout like Paul did when he was in jail. He ain't had nothing to shout about if he didn't know what he was shouting about. He knew God was going to come to his rescue. Praise and worship. Move God off his throne. And move the hand and arm of God at the same time. When you just take time to praise him and worship him in the midst of trouble. My dad told a story before he went home to glory. He was a good storyteller with the anointing. Actually live stories of the man who had went to the hospital, to the doctor and to the hospital, and they had given him up to die, and they told him he wasn't going to make it. And some way he dragged his way out of the house and took, I think he had a chair with him, and dragged it out in the woods by a tree and got on that tree and told God, I'm going to praise you until I live or die. And he started praising God. And praising God, and nothing happened. Praising God, getting weaker and weaker. Praising God, all of a sudden he felt strength. Coming his leg, and coming up his leg. All of a sudden his arms started getting strong. That praise had turned into the power of God. And the man came back to his house walking and free of that sickness, free of that disease. Sometimes disease trying to get in your ministry. You need to praise God about it. Sometimes somebody going to rub you wrong. Somebody going to do you wrong. You need to praise. Don't get mad. Just praise God. Put it in God's hand. You need not to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. You need to sing in this battle. Sing out. Send out some praises ahead of you. I'm going to bring an ambushment to that person who is against you. I'm going to stop them for you. Just focus on me. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, for the joy that was set before him. Endured the cross. Despising the shame. And now. He said it where? At the right hand of the Father. Every now and then, shame try to come upon you. Try to make you do something that you don't want to do. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Are you hearing me here? Every now and then, look like your hand tied. Look like your arm tied. Look like your finances tied. Look like you can't move. But stand still. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. You give him praise. And you thank him for calling you to the ministry. And you thank him that he's been good to you. And just praise his name. For he's worthy. I say he's worthy to be praised. I say he's worthy. All preachers, y'all can do better than that. He's worthy to be praised and to be magnified and to be glorified. He never lost a battle. No weapon. Said no weapon. Whatever Satan say he's going to do to you, I'm here in the name of Jesus to call him a lie. He shouldn't have never let you got to this meeting. You going back not after Sam. You God is about to turn you into another person because you're going back to God's original plan for your life and your ministry. Get that junk out of your ministry. Get all them little gimmicks out of your ministry. Stand still and report to the Lord and say, Lord, I want what you want. Watch what happens to your ministry. Stop playing them games with them few folks. Be a man. Stand up and tell them what the Lord told you to tell them. Stay or go play, but I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. If it ain't working, go get a job.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come on, Dad. Well, I lost the praise right there, boy. I lost the praise. We were doing good there, but I lost the anointing at that job. So like my wife and I were watching these certain stories, you know, and they dress up three times a day to eat, and they put on tux at night, and that's all they do, you know, the rich folks, you know. And we were watching. So one lady asked a man, said, when you going to get a job? He said, I'm a gentleman. Other boy, gentlemen don't work. Lord said, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah.
And some of y'all choking yourself. And some of y'all got gifts and talents you could be using until you get clear direction. You're making your family suffer for nothing. Only if the Lord tell you keep doing it. I can't overrule the Lord, but I can say something to you. You know, because this girl here can prove you don't have to have 50,000 members to be blessed. She sold hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just sowing it, always sowing, 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 sowing. I've been to her church. Leroy Walsh got his head and said, oh, boy, this woman is. God help her. She blessed. She don't miss no meeting.
Nope.
You guys who make an excuse, you guys who make an excuse, this woman don't miss a meeting. I could be in Chicago, Washington. No, I could be in Alaska. This girl gonna be there. Do she have 200 members? No.
Come on, Dad.
How's she doing it?
Grace.
Wait a minute, I'm gonna close with this. He will do the same thing for you if you stop eating your seed and start telling the Lord, I won't be where the apostle is. When he opens his mouth, I won't be there. God gonna make sure that you'll be there. Matter of fact, I impart that to you right now. If you declare to God, I want to be there, God gonna work it out. I said, God gonna work it out. I said, God gonna work it out. Come on, come on. You gotta do what I do. You gotta do what I do. God gonna work it out. Come on. Woo! Work it out. I say, God gonna work it out. And I'm not gonna do something else with the money when he work it out. All right, children. I probably, the half that I didn't lay hand on this morning, I'll probably lay hand on you in the morning. I'm not going to say, I guess, but see, I better try to get back on the Sam Road. You ain't got to get on Sam Road. I'm going to call the ones out who I didn't lay hand on. I laid hand on five roads this morning. And I don't know. We'll get to it as the Lord lead. You may be seated at time to give. I can't hear you.